Brother 4 with the But First, a Big Brother blockumentary. It's a lot of bees. And it's for Big Brother 4, of course. And I am here, Taryn Armstrong, with Mary. How are you doing, Mary?
I'm doing well. I did record a video earlier with myself continually saying Big Brother 3. And then I remembered this is Big Brother 4. But it's fine. We're, you know, it's a slow week. I mean, I think we talked a lot in the first part of this about Michelle and how she's not necessarily bringing a whole lot to the table. So it was fine. Things happen. There were lettuce bikinis.
Yeah. I don't think this, I feel like the opening week had some strong moments. I feel like this week was definitely a weaker week of Big Brother here.
Yeah, I think that there's a little bit more clarity in some of the lines drawn in the house, some of the people who are kind of playing the middle, some of the relationships with the exes that aren't so bad versus the, you know, compared to the initial shock of, I just want this person out of here. And then there's a lot that's just kind of the same with people like Robert and Erica and stuff like that. And, you know, Nathan's still a good old boy.
Yeah, and I think ultimately part of it is that we're going to see G as the new HOH, and he's going to make a move that is not the smartest. But I feel like they really back away from that narrative. That like it's almost like we're getting the week from G's perspective until the end. If that makes sense. It's almost like we're a little bit left in the dark.
For sure. From the edit of the show, it feels like, oh, G's making this move against Erica. Everybody hates Erica. Erica's going to go. No problem. And that's just completely not what's actually happening in the house. And this is the first in a couple moves from the Three Stooges that's not going to go exactly how they plan.
So let's start off here with episode 6, where we get the eviction fallout that David does wish that G had gone, because, you know, it's Amanda, but he did vote with the house. He did vote Amanda out. David, really the master of voting out, step aside Sierra for voting out your mom. David votes out all of his exes.
Yeah, although for different reasons. And I do think it's kind of important to talk about how this Amanda vote was unanimous, because I think this is some of the reason why G and Robert and Justin think that the next vote is going to be unanimous. They think they saw this as, oh my gosh, you know, people who liked Amanda voted her out. So they're just following the house and they're going to do whatever the house wants, which is kind of true. Dave probably would have wanted Amanda to stay, but he was not stupid enough to step out of line the first week, because Amanda wasn't really in his alliance. So this is going to be a little bit different of a scenario this week. It's not going to, that theory is not going to hold strong.
Yes. And we hear from June that she said, I didn't think I could manipulate Amanda as easily as I can G. So that's why Amanda had to go.
Right. Which is something that we knew about June from the second that G was nominated, where June was a little bit upset because she didn't want him to go home early. So definitely some pull coming from her. And one thing that this week does do is it does show you who thinks they have power than who actually has power.
Yes. They talk about how in the HOH competition, it was the four X's that remained in the competition. That not a great scenario for the Elite Seven, as they are now calling it. Justin, though, of course, happy that G won. But Nathan is like, worst case scenario. G has gone from nominee to HOH. Classic case of, you know, the person that survives the first eviction often goes on to win HOH.
Yep, from the basement to the penthouse. You know, this whole Elite Seven business, like, this is just classic why we don't put numbers in the alliance. If one person gets voted out, is it the Elite Six now? No, stop.
I mean,
you either call it the Elite Eight the whole time, or you just don't name them after numbers.
Well, according to Dana, the Elite Eight is non-existent for her. So I think she missed the memo that it's the Elite Seven because it's non-existent for her. And also it probably means it's the Elite Six at this point.
Probably. Yeah. So G gets his HOH room, which is nice. My favorite part of this whole thing was him looking at the photo that's in the room of his girlfriend. He goes, yeah, you know, the picture was my girlfriend, Carmen. She looked good and sexy in it. It was a nice picture frame.
Also, the robe didn't look good on him.
No.
Not good.
I've never understood the whole HOH robe thing personally.
It's great. It's led to some great moments.
It's not, but I just think if I was HOH, I would never wear it. I would never wear the robe.
You'd never don the robe or the crown?
No. It just makes me think also of season two when somebody, was it like Krista, was just wearing her bathrobe and her hair in a towel like the entire time, like to every nomination ceremony. Yeah. That's just what I think about when I think about the robes. I don't think I would wear it. I think that it would, I don't want people to think of me as being the HOH. Just give somebody else the robe to wear.
Well, it depends. Sometimes you want people to think of you as powerful in the game. It can help you out in certain circumstances.
Maybe. I mean, what if you kept the robe and then just wore it on a week when you weren't HOH? Like, when I'm in power, I don't want you to think of me about it, but I want you to think that I have some power so you can't put me on the block.
Yeah, you show up to nominations, you're just like, excuse me? I'm wearing the robe. You can't nominate me.
That was Krista's whole plan.
Yeah. June tells us that she's making sure to not treat G any differently just because he's HOH, which means that she's just still being really mean to him.
Yeah, she tells everyone, oh, you want to get G in trouble? Just go jump in bed with him half naked. That's great. Yeah. I kind of love June's, you know, diary rooms where she likes to mention things about her relationship with G and how she's treating him in the house, sort of as if it's strategy, when I think really she just doesn't like him and just wants to be mean to him.
Yeah. Unfortunately, though, for everyone, Dana is pissed off.
Yeah, we had a whole segment that's just her saying, I'm pissed off. This really pisses me off. Like 20 times.
The dishes, they piss me off. The shower, the dirty showers, they piss me off.
Yeah. She won't go in there without shoes on. That's the best.
The laundry, it pisses me off.
Yeah. Look, girls, you know, I don't care if they betray me because I'm not really close with them. But if you guys betray me, that'll really piss me off.
People, they take my towel. It pisses me off.
I can't think of more. There were a lot more though.
So we get some campaigning. Dana's pissed off, but it's fine. Dana's gonna campaign a bit. She's pleased that G won. People are starting to realize, they've already realized, but people, it's becoming even more apparent just how much Dana is not with the original eight. And so Nathan, Allison, and Jack are talking about how if they have to lose one of them, it should be Dana, because basically their alliance, they lost the HOH competition. So now they're like, okay, obviously, these guys are smart enough to take a shot at one of us. Surely they're not going to put up one of their own. And so with that being the case, which one of us should be the one to take the hit? And they feel like it's got to be Dana because she's not loyal. She's actually with them.
Right. And you would hope that if the guys were smart enough to realize that Dana's the one in the middle who's with them, that they also wouldn't put her up. Because that doesn't help them either.
Exactly. And that's what Robert says. He says, you know what? It's good that Nathan doesn't like Dana. We can use that.
Right. Yeah. We do get some talk from G about, you know, not liking her nasty little New York attitude and how that might be a reason to target her. But I think he's more so talking about the rest of the house wanting to target her.
Yeah. Then we hear from Nathan.
Golly.
This is the, you know, one of these, getting pissed off, that's one, but then getting golly right after, is a little too much, I think.
I think I'm fixing to start saying golly all the time.
I'm fixing as well. G is fixing for it too. It's rubbing off on him. Yeah. And Nathan tells us, hey, I'm not as dumb as people think I am.
Yes, golly. Bless his heart.
There's a great quote from Happy Endings that has to do with I'm not as dumb as I am.
Yeah, that's kind of Nathan in a nutshell.
Yeah,
but he's just one of those people who, yeah, it's the kind of person that you hear them talk about how they're not completely dumb and you just want to pat them on the shoulder and say, bless your heart, and then walk away. It was a lot. I was kind of surprised these two segments were almost back to back like that. Couldn't have spread them out a little bit for the for the color for the week.
Well, but don't worry. We've got some juicy content coming up. Food competition.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And this is probably one of my favorite or least favorite food competitions, just in terms of what they have to do. Is absolutely disgusting because it involves eating these casseroles and trying to guess what the meat and vegetable is. But like, there must be what's all the other stuff in the casserole? Like, what's the white part that's holding it together?
Yeah, is it just like a bunch of French fries and like other nonsense? Very strange.
Yeah, they all sort of had these giant bowls with some sort of meat and vegetable mixed in, and then like a topping. And one had French fries, one had just saltine crackers on top. One looked like it had meatballs on top of it, but that's not the part they're eating. So they have to eat it and then guess. And one team is just blowing the other team out of the water, pretty much. We've got Dana, Michelle, Robert, Nathan, David on one team, and then June, Jack, Allison, Justin, Erica on the other. And this is, of course, one team's going to win food. One team's going to be on PB&J for the whole week.
Yes. Michelle, unfortunately, had to eat Bambi, which is very sad for her.
I think eating Bambi in general is kind of sad. Like, if someone put a plate of Bambi in front of me, that would be... Yeah, the combinations here were ham and cauliflower, venison and artichoke, which doesn't... I mean, it's not great. I mean, you don't want to eat Bambi, but it doesn't sound that bad. Oyster and Brussels sprouts, I think, sounds the worst. And then liver and cactus, tongue and bell pepper. So, not fun. I couldn't really figure out, like, some people were sort of eating it. Some people were just spitting it back out. I assume you had to take another bite before you could guess again, because otherwise not just slap them all up each time. So it was fine. Unfortunately, Nathan's team loses and he takes it the hardest.
Yes, he can't eat any meat. His body is going to wither away. He's a Greek god. He needs to put some protein in there.
Yeah, this is one of those things that just is so unrelatable to me. Like, I enjoy my fresh meats and vegetables. Fresh meats, is that? I guess. And
I mean, you don't want old meats.
You're right. I just don't think of them as being fresh. That reminds me of Cookout. You drive through there and it says fresh milkshakes. And I just, what's a fresh milkshake? Anyway, but I feel like they had nothing but cereal, pasta, and potatoes to eat for the last week. And everyone's complaining about how much weight they lost. I don't know about you, but the last time I ate a bunch of cereal, pasta, and potatoes, I didn't lose weight. So.
Well, I think what Nathan is doing is that he's not eating enough because he's trying not to put on weight that is not muscle.
Okay, sure. Can't relate.
And also, when you have like just one kind of food, you get really sick of it. You can't eat enough of it to like maintain as much.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I pretty much lived off of cowtails in college, so I think I did okay.
I mean, you know, if you say so. I feel like you probably had some other things, too, though, which helped out.
Yeah, well, I really can't complain. My college is known for having the best food in, like, the country.
So. I'll brag about it.
Yeah, it's great. Robert is not cute, but he's confident.
How did he end up with Erica? We've all been asking this question. And so now they are. We hear that, you know, he's ugly, but he reeks of self-confidence.
Right. But they say he reeks of self-confidence right when he's like spraying something onto his hair. So I took that very literally.
It's a hairspray called self-confidence.
Oh, that's great. So Allison and Michelle both say that he's like fun to talk to and down to earth and has a good personality. But Erica thinks he's a used car salesman. He knows that he's selling nothing good. He says,
my secret is I'm confident about what I am. I act like I'm doing them a favor by talking to them, these women. And then it cut to Michelle. He's just got a great personality.
Yeah, this is the part that I don't get. Like, don't get me wrong. I think compensating with self-confidence is a thing I'm a big fan of. I do that all the time. You act, you know, act like the person that you want people to think you are. Fake it till you make it. I completely agree with all of that. However, every sentence Robert is saying is not just being confident. That's just being a jerk. You know, I point at them and tell them, come over here, and they have to come over to me. I tell them it's time to sleep with me and then leave. And they've got to be okay with that.
Robert, I imagine, you know, back in the early 2000s was a big proponent of negging.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's just classic playa kind of moves.
Yeah, this is the kind of guy that that has, you know, nice guys everywhere. Like, oh, it's always the jerk that gets the women.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I still don't see it. Robert is, you know, he's on his way to being that villain that we love to watch. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this goes perfectly into the Erica who's been having a hard time the last few days. Or has she? Because half the house has decided that she's just faking her tears and she cries all the time, which is this, you know, she's not exactly like the mom archetype, but this is something you see all the time, especially on Survivor, with like that person who just cries all the time and you have to comfort them all the time. You kind of get sick of it and you don't really feel like when they try to claim that they were, you know, playing the game the whole time, this is just the image you think of.
Yeah. Robert says this would have worked on me years ago, but not now. I know better. Jack, though, has been comforting her. He's a father figure to her.
Yeah. But I think this is something interesting to think about. Like, do you think that this is her being upset because Robert's around, or is this being upset because her game's not going well and she's just trying anything she can to get sympathy?
I think this is her genuinely being upset. I feel like she tried a lot harder and the edit was like kinder to her this season. But we see her come back and like we see her play again. And she is not nearly as like, I'm only here for the game. I'm just a cutthroat player in season 7 as she is in season 4.
Yeah, but that's almost why I feel like in this season she is putting it on a little bit, just because she is trying.
I think she's putting on the I don't care persona in the diary room.
Okay, yeah, that's definitely possible. I just in general think like you don't want to be the person in the house who's crying all the time. And if you notice that you are and the people are comforting you, do everything you can to try and get out of that position. Mm-hmm. Because not everyone has a Jack around to comfort them.
Yeah. And so G and Justin and Robert, they all want Erica out. And Justin feels like the house will be on board for this.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said earlier, he thinks that Dave and Jack might even go along with the vote like they did with Amanda, because they're just playing scared and they want to appease the house. And if they try to push this vote as like Erica being the person everyone wants gone, then it'll be a unanimous vote. Mm-hmm. But you know who likes Erica, though? Those turtles.
Or are they tortoises?
I no idea. Their names are Cuff and Link, though, which is kind of cute.
Here's the thing. Michelle says, I don't know if they're turtles or tortoises. Literally every other person says tortoises. I don't know why she's confused.
Well, because there hasn't been a sign that's told her exactly.
I mean,
it could still be turtles.
Maybe every other person is wrong and she's just like the sane one and she's just questioning her reality. But nobody else seems to be confused.
Well, you know, I didn't bring it up at the beginning, but somebody, when they first went into that desert room and put their bag down, definitely said, oh, yeah, this is awesome. This is the room with the lizards.
Mm.
So I think someone else was confused as well. That might have been Scott.
Well, that's because that's where the lizards were last season.
Yeah, but he looked at the turtles and said, oh, it's the lizards. I don't know. Sorry, tortoises. Anyway, it seems like some people, Allison and Dana especially, they're creeped out. They don't like the turtles. Dana says that she likes the monitor fish better, the fake fish on the computer screen. Now, here's where I disagree. I mean, monitor fish might be a one thing, but like, I am personally way more creeped out by a fish tank than I would be by like tortoises in a tank.
Why is that?
The fish are really scary. You know, it's like, it's that kind of thing where they're alive, but are they like really alive? I mean, it's like plants.
Yes.
They're living, but like, they're not, you know, they can't like think in the same way that like a, you know, like a bigger animal could. And so I'm just kind of, you think that if you just picture them as being, oh, part of the background, that's okay. But if you sit there and look at a fish tank for a long time, ugh, just creeps me out. I don't want to think of something as being alive like that. Really hate.
They don't creep you out on like in like a physical sense. It's an existential freak out.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, you know, like I had a plant And then it started growing too much and it creeped me out because it was like, yeah, I don't want to think of you as being like alive.
Okay. You just
walk out and it's pointed toward the sun and it's just weird.
You just only want you to be alive.
Yeah, well, I mean, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is the scariest movie out there because the food comes to life and that is horrifying. I don't like things being unnatural.
This is like the origin story of a supervillain. You realize that, right?
I'm not going to hurt the fish. I just don't want them around me.
Alive.
I just don't want them around me. I don't want to look at them. Like, if there was a room with the fish tank in Big Brother, I would not be in that room.
Well.
And I would not be feeding the fish.
Well, Allison thinks that Justin Smell might be getting blamed on the poor tortoises.
I mean, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talk about Michelle. She's so innocent. She blocks David out. Which is no different than how it was when they were going out.
This whole segment with her being mad at David thing is the most like confusing thing for me because he's kind of joking around with her in a, not exactly a mean way, but she keeps getting mad at him that he's not taking her seriously and having a serious conversation. And he keeps going like, oh yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'm serious. I mean, like, can I squeeze your butt now?
Yeah.
Is that cool? And I kind of get it because she's not going to be able to play a game and be taken seriously if you have someone just like picking on her like she's his little sister the whole time. It honestly makes me feel better if I think about them as being brother and sister because it's really weird thinking about them dating.
Yeah. David's kind of a jerk.
He's kind of a jerk, but also Michelle does not do a great job of like explaining what she's mad about exactly.
Yeah, but like with, and especially knowing the history of their relationship where like she was very young and he tried to like have sex with her. And now like, he's just like, oh, let me squeeze your bottom, but I don't care. But do I? But I don't care. But do I? It's just like, this is kind of jerk. It's like, she's complaining. She's like, I always feel like you're making fun of me. And I need you to stop now before I hate you, David. And he's just like, well, maybe it's just me hiding my true feelings for you. So maybe you just need to get over it. Or he says to us, she just needs to get over it. And then he's like, so can I touch your ass now? And it's just like, it's kind of a jerk.
He is a jerk. I think that the threat of, if you make fun of me one more time, it's going to get to the point where I don't even want to be your friend anymore. It's going to get that bad. Like, God forbid they aren't friends anymore. Oh my gosh. That's like a horrible, horrible change of events. But you have all these other exes around that are, like, hate each other and have actual history. I mean, most people don't remain friends when they break up. So, yeah, it is a weird, weird moment, but it's fine. They're not long for this game together.
Yeah.
So, oh well, but he's definitely kind of not really laughing with her. He's laughing at her. Mm. And that's sad. Mm. She's so innocent. And that's really how it is. Michelle's the one person who can't get by with that whole, like, I'm not as naive as you think I am.
Yeah.
I think she's exactly as naive as I think she is.
Well, her parents will try to tell us that later, but that's fine.
Right, right.
G is going to approach Michelle about using her as a pawn against Erica. And Michelle, oh, what? I'm just being put up because I'm too nice and innocent? That's not fair. David would prefer Dana on the block. He wants to threaten G. And so he goes and he offers to work with G if he puts Dana up. But it's not going to happen.
Yes. Well, I did love Michelle coming into the HOH room, getting on the bed under the covers and then asking, hey, is it cool if I lie down while I talk to you?
Mm.
While already under the covers. This whole David trying to get Dana up. I mean, we just had this whole moment with David and Michelle. Do you think that David really was trying to keep Michelle or he just wanted Dana out and this was a good opportunity? Because it is a little bit surprising that they have probably the most civil relationship of the exes, and yet David doesn't really appear to be trying to use her, keep her around, or align with her.
Yeah, it's interesting. Not knowing a ton from the feeds, I don't know which plan was more solid at this point, but I think that they genuinely wanted Dana gone more than Michelle, especially the way that, you know, G and Justin and Robert talked about Michelle, is that they kind of felt like Michelle had was working a little more closely with the other group of people than she was with them. And so it probably was the case that Dana was actually closer to the Stooges than Michelle was. And so it might have been in the best interest of the elite, whatever, to take Dana out here and leave Michelle as kind of like, you know, if both Dana and Michelle are flip floppers, then Michelle is their flip flopper and Dana's the Stooges flip flopper. So it would have been better for them to have Dana go.
Yeah, I think probably that they just figured out, you know, Dave and Jack and everyone probably figured out towards the end that, like, even if they do try to get Dana on the block, it's going to come down to G putting her up, and G's probably not going to.
Yeah, so. And the more they try to get Dana on the block, the less incentive G has to do it.
Right. Definitely. I guess it just, what I'm thinking about more is when it comes down to Erica versus Michelle, should David have put up any kind of fight to try and keep Michelle around, to use her?
I mean, I think looking back at it, we can say that might have been a better idea for him. I don't know how he makes that happen in his alliance when, you know, Erica's a core part of it. And Erica's like really close with Nathan and Jack. And like, you know, I don't know how he flips that.
Yeah, that's true. And he is in that same bedroom with them too. So, oh well.
I mean, I guess he could have, like, if you think about if he grabs Dana and runs off with the Stooges, they could have forced a tie, and then G could have broken the tie and evicted Erica. But like, that's really just blowing up his entire spot for Michelle.
Yep. Week two. So the HOH nominations happen, and there's a couple funny parts here. After, you know, the talks with David, knowing that he wants Dana up, G does set it up so that David is the one to pull Dana's name, which is kind of funny. And then June is the last one there, which I definitely think G just wanted to have her sweat a little bit.
Yes. So he chooses to nominate Erica and Michelle. He says, "Erica, I choose you for strategic purposes and the quality of relationships you have with people in the house. You make people feel uncomfortable, and you make me feel uncomfortable. Michelle, you're innocent, sweet, and adorable. You're a good fit to put against Erica. Sorry if it hurts your feelings, but it had to be done."
So was G's speech to Erica better or worse than last week's Nathan's to Amanda?
Somehow worse.
Yeah, I think this is a strategic reason. Now, here's a bunch of personal things about you, but it's not personal. It's just strategic.
Yeah,
everything he said about her quality of her relationships and making people uncomfortable, that is all personal.
Yes. Erica tells us, you know what? I'm just too normal. I'm too normal. That's why I'm threatening, is because I'm too normal in this house of crazy people.
Right. And Michelle tells us, no more innocence.
No more. She's done being taken advantage of.
Well, I mean, I think this is the last time someone's going to get to take advantage of her. So she didn't lie.
There you go. And that brings us into episode 7, where we get the fallout from these nominations. And this is really the low point here, that Erica says, "Oh, I make people feel uncomfortable. Well, how about I be a little racist to prove you wrong?"
Yeah, nothing puts me at ease like racism. So yeah,
like I make people feel uncomfortable, racism.
Yep, definitely the worst look from Erica so far. Possibly the worst look that we're going to get from her. I think there's going to be a little bit more of this same kind of thing. Something that is definitely going to be pointed to towards the end of the season, or after the season, really, a lot. And also during the time, not great. Yeah, she's really, really harsh about G taking out all of this against him. Has a lot of choice words to say here to, I believe David is the only one within earshot of this. But considering the fact that G comes out the door into the backyard a couple seconds later, and she does flip a switch almost immediately when he walks out, and she says, you know, oh, it's no big deal. Don't even worry about it. I'm fine.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Well, Robert is pleased. He says he needs to get Erica out of the game. It's the only way he'll win. He's not necessarily wrong about that. Allison and Dana are going to go and comfort Michelle. She's mad that she was chosen as a pawn. Dana says, we'll have to take, myself, Allison and June, down before they'll have to take Allison, myself and June down before you go anywhere, Michelle. We've got your back. That's definitely the case this week.
Yeah, this is a thing in the first couple of weeks where Dana and Allison in particular and June are sort of playing like big sister to Michelle. They're keeping her on a need to know basis and they're sort of hanging out with her and having fun. But as we've seen already, not really in the same league with these three girls.
Yeah.
And, I mean, for what you can say about Michelle and the fact that she is a sweet young 19-year-old here, she's really not doing anything to try and play the game herself.
Yeah, we get a great line from Dana, who, as we know, her alliance was trying to get her on the block. So that coming from her, this is especially funny. She says, well, Michelle is on a need to know basis. So she was kind of taken by surprise. Not realizing that, if her alliance had their way, that, she would have been the one taken by surprise.
Well, that would just, have her be pissed off.
Yeah. So G is going to let Erica, or he says that Erica only gets along with Dana, with David and Jack, and he wants her gone. So he says David and Jack are the only people Erica gets along with. So clearly Nathan, who is still in good with that crew, Allison, June, they are all doing a good job of pretending to not be on board with Erica. And people, G in particular, sees David, Jack, and Erica as the trio there. So he's going to apologize to Michelle. She feels taken advantage of. She feels disappointed. She feels betrayed. She says, don't worry. I've worked out everything to make sure you stay. I've got this.
I mean, the thing is, like, in his mind, he does think that he's got this and that he's worked out everything. So, I know that Michelle's going to feel very betrayed by G for having assured her all week, but he's just, he's in the dark too. He doesn't know. He's on a need to know basis as well.
Yeah.
With everything that's going on. He does tell her though that if Erica somehow wins the veto, then Dana will be put up.
Which would just be perfect for him, right? To, that's somehow managing to put up the only two people in the house that aren't in his direct alliance, but might be willing to work with him.
So, I mean, there's pretty much like anyone else in the house besides Michelle and Justin and Robert and Dana. He could have put up anyone else against Erica, and Erica probably goes.
Maybe.
I mean, things could have potentially flipped if you had taken a really big shot at someone like, David or Nathan. But as we're going to see from the veto, that would just complicate things more. So,
yeah, the point is that he should have just put up anybody else other than those four. Right. Very, very easy choice.
Because at the very least, even if you don't get Erica out, you get someone out who's not working with you, or at least partially working with you. So there's that. Erica is glad, at least, that her being the target does take some of the heat off of Jack and David's backs. So that, because they're being distracted by her, but she feels like the original seven are going to keep her safe.
Well, G also says about Michelle, she's young and naive. She doesn't know how to play the game right though. And if she goes, she'll deserve it.
Well, I mean, you put her up. So yeah. It's still on you here.
I wonder if he feels the same way after she goes.
Yeah, probably. Well, probably not. Allison and Nathan, they're chasing each other around.
They play the grossest game of cat and mouse Dana has ever seen.
Yeah. Well, how does it make Dana feel?
Pisses her off.
Exactly. I was kind of surprised that we had. So in the first week, we have this boxing session that's between Allison and Justin. And Allison kind of gets hit and she's a little bit annoyed at him. when that came on, I thought, oh, this is the one where her and Nathan are boxing. No, that just happens again. She doesn't learn her lesson. And so she also, her move, it's like her move in the
house. She's the Muhammad Ali of the Big Brother house.
Yeah, really says gotta start boxing. But Justin, I think, was a little bit more, it was a little more 50-50 there. Nathan's not really doing a whole lot here.
It's all pent-up sexual aggression, says Dana, mm-hmm. from Allison.
Yeah, I do like this quote from Dana when she says, you know, she's got guts coming after these guys. She gets hit in the face, but she keeps on swinging. I'm proud of her, which I think is a good metaphor for all things Allison. She has guts. She does come after these guys, you know, despite whatever might be happening at home. She does get hit in the face occasionally, but Ooh. She keeps swinging.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
That went deep. That went deep. Yeah. So June is, she was nervous that her name was last. That worked on her. She said, I was about to jump across the table and strangle G. And he wanted her to sweat, but he wants to use her in the game. And June tells us that her and G are silent partners and she wants to get to the final two together. And so this is, we're gonna see bits of this throughout the season that, they are gonna continue to silently work together. And, you know, people see it, but they don't see how deep it runs.
Well, and the beauty of a pair like G and June is that they do actually dislike each other a bit. So when they can do things like, oh, we're going to hide our alliance by putting June last on the keys, which will annoy her. But it also is just fun for G to annoy June in this way. So I like it. I do think that they are probably, I mean, they're definitely the closest strategic pairing of the exes at this point. And I would say probably one of the closer relationships in the house. This is the only people we've heard so far on the edited show saying that they want to go to the end together.
Yeah. So Dana is getting really paranoid. June says she went from cool to annoying so fast, and she has no idea how many people are gunning for her. And it's actually bugging her that Dana can't figure this out. So June is going to give Dana a bit of a heads up that, Nathan is a little annoyed at you. Dana, the last thing Nathan needs to do is piss me off. He's got balls the size of elephant nuts.
I wrote that down too. What does that even mean? I have no balls the size of elephant nuts. Okay. I mean, that's cutting deep. I think that, June is hilarious here because she's aligned with Dana and she's working with her, but she also just likes to rile her up. She doesn't tell her in a way that's like, hey, it's fine, but we're going to have a plan and we're going to go after it. She's just like, hey, yeah, June, did you hear what Nathan said about you? It was pretty mean.
Yeah. June says Dana's the only one that's visibly split from the eight and it makes her a target. We're just getting more set up here for the reason why they're targeting Dana. We also get a little heads up here that they're playing duck ball was invented by the cast of Big Brother 3. And so now they've been playing it duck ball.
Well, I am personally a follower of Jack's strategy here. You know, grabbing by the ass is the best way to throw the duck.
Yeah, I, you know, and you'd think that David would be good at it because of how much practice he's got. And so maybe that's what happens here.
Yeah, exactly. So a bit of a montage of that. How do you like the fact that they talk about duck ball as if it's been, it's got such a history in the game of Big Brother. It was like last season. It's been a year. And also the entire history of Big Brother is like kind of 2 to 3 seasons.
Well, that's why 1 year is a long time in Big Brother history at this point.
Right. Right, yeah. So they're practicing duck ball. Dana can't be bothered because she's too annoyed with all the people.
I can't be bothered throwing ducks in a bucket. What's better, duck ball or pot ball?
Pot ball?
Yeah.
Was this a thing?
BB17.
I already forgot. Oh, pot ball, right. Big Brother 17, definitely the one season that is not the one that I haven't seen. right. Ooh, didn't expect that curveball coming. I'm going to go duck ball because it's the only one that I know of those two.
Well, we hear from Dana again. June is still trying to give Dana the heads up. Like, you need to repair some relationships here. People are coming for you. You need to be aware of this. She says, do not talk to Justin or Robert. And so Dana says, okay, I won't do that. And then she goes straight to G and Robert and she confronts them. So if the veto is used, what's happening? We're not coming for you. We're not coming for you. But they're annoyed. They're annoyed that she's so paranoid. Why is she coming in and asking us this? It's so annoying. Clearly, somehow, she found out exactly what we were planning on doing. That's no good. It's somebody ratted. Justin's going to come in and flirt with her a little bit.
Right. And Dana is going to say that it was his psycho ex-cheerleader girlfriend. Mm. Who's starting this against her? And
she said, it's your psycho cheerleader girlfriend starting the brigade.
Right. Yeah.
She knew.
Isn't it crazy that Allison started the brigade this early on? I mean, talk about BB history.
And she'll F up their whole program.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
The dark side. Everyone that was in here before the five of you came in.
Yeah. So this is Dana saying that she's every day given them a little bit of piece of info about the eight possibly being together. This is not a little piece of info.
Yeah.
This is literally calling out the alliance. But these guys, I don't know what's worse here. Dana thinking that she's somehow slowly dropping hints or them not exactly cottoning on to it.
It's just a little piece here and there, but she can't tell them everything because she needs to keep the ace in the hole.
Okay. We saw here a little bit of the Dana Justin stuff where we can see that she's starting to, that might be a little bit of a reason why she's leaving the Allison side and moving towards the Three Stooges here.
Yeah, after she leaves the HOH room, the Stooges agree that she trusts them more than anyone else in the house. So, after she was just paranoid that they'd put her up. So, like, why would we put her up? You know, like, why would we do that? And so, oddly, I think June did end up saving Dana here because we're going to see that... It appeared as though the plan really was for Dana to go up if the veto was used. And because that's what G's like, she found exactly what we were doing. And so by confronting them and by being paranoid that the other side wants her up, it actually finally convinced them, oh, maybe Dana's actually on our side. And maybe we shouldn't do this. Which was definitely, just in time, for Dana to make that, connection.
Right. And then G talks a bit about how since everyone sees that Dana is kind of on the outs and in the middle of these two sides, and that June is the only one who's really talking to her, people are starting to suspect that June is the one sharing this information with Dana.
Mm-hmm.
And June does a nice job of just saying, oh, no, it was Michelle. You know, we walked around the corner and Michelle was just talking out loud. And that's how Dana overheard
this
it.
This is a great, great interaction. She goes straight into G's room and she's like, what the F are we going to do? And he's just like, you don't knock? Did you tell Dana?
Yeah.
No. Well, you'd better watch out, because you're rubbing people the wrong way. They think you're saying things, June. I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. He says, you gotta control the girls. She's like, well, how am I supposed to do that? I know that Michelle was saying something and then, Dana came around and I think she heard it. I think it was an accident. And he's like, okay, next time knock.
Yeah. And then he says, well, we got to cover up a reason why you came in here. So here, take some food out so it can look like that's why you came. She's like, no,
I'm not doing that.
Storms out. June, do it. That was great.
June tells us this is it. That's it for June. Dana is not in her corner and she can't risk having her in the game as a partner.
Yeah.
Because she went straight to the Stooges.
Sad. Dana can't be bothered, but Erica has been really practicing duckball. She's ready. She's going to do great. She's definitely not going to come in last in this competition.
Michelle loved the look of the yard. It was peaceful and so beautiful.
Okay, I will say, I do remember thinking when I saw this the first time that this was a very elaborate setup for a competition compared to everything else. They had like a whole pond in there and the way I remember it, and again, I've talked about this on podcast before. My first season of Big Brother was season 19.
Mm.
And I thought that when they were saying they were going out to the backyard, that it was really just like a joke and they were going to a studio set somewhere. Because of course that those big, you know, elaborate set pieces could not be in the backyard. I definitely thought they were two completely separate locations from where the pool was and people were hanging out. And then going back to the beginning and watching how it evolves, it's crazy. So this was nice.
Well, yeah. Well, they need to hype it up because they are just throwing ducks in a bucket, but that's fine.
Yeah. Well, look, this is a big step up from CDs into the popcorn bowl.
Yeah. Right. So Michelle says, I'm definitely going to take myself off if I win, which, you know what? Good to know.
Right. Because not everyone would do that.
At this point in time, we're one for one in terms of people who haven't done that. So it's actually useful information at this point in this history of the show.
Yeah. I don't know. Kind of feel like she could have been convinced otherwise, possibly.
Maybe. She only gets 2 points, though, so it's not going to matter. Erica only gets 1 point. She's genetically not predisposed to duck throwing.
Right. Well, most aren't. Except for people like David.
Yeah, well, so Dane only gets 2. David gets 7 points. He says he puts his finger on the back, on the beak, and he puts a spin on it.
Right. But as all duck ball players should know.
Yeah.
The scoring system here was a little bit confusing because if you made it into the veto circle, you also then got a bonus duck.
Yes. Bonus duck.
So, right. And so I was a little bit confused of like, well, if you threw the bonus duck in, would you get another bonus duck?
No, only one bonus duck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, confusing.
Can I say again, though, like when Jack is talking about the various strategies and like David's talking about, oh, you got to put the spin on it. Again, Jack is such a dad. Like, it's like talking about like, oh, yeah, there's a certain strategy to throwing the duck. In duck ball, it's like it's such a dad thing, such like a guy thing to be like, oh no, there's a certain technique to the, and it, like it points out the absurdity of it, right? Like, right. No, it's you gotta put your finger on the right place on the duck. You gotta put
it's
the right
not just
spin
who can throw
on
it
the
duck.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's so dumb.
Yeah, well, only a dad would name their ducks Precious. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. June only gets 4 points. Allison gets 6 points. Nathan with 5. Jack gets 3. G gets 2. Robert gets 2. Justin gets 7. And so there's a tie between Justin and David. And they're the two, alpha boys in the house that are two of the alpha boys in the house. Dana really wants Justin to win. And David was really happy that he got to throw some camo ducks. He really wants to beat Justin.
Yeah.
So he gets 9 points with the bonus duck. And then Justin only gets 6. And Justin, I hate it. I came in second again.
Yeah. It's sad. It does show here a little bit of a target on David's back for how well he competes in this competition. And duck ball. Right. If you're going to win and you're going to put that target on your back, you might as well use it. You might as well go the whole way.
Well, Michelle is thrilled. She says, you know what? I feel like if I ask him, he'll use it on me.
Not even in David's consideration.
He's not even a vote to keep her.
No, certainly not going to take her off.
He says he can't wait to use the veto and see people's faces when Dana goes up. It's going to be great. But the problem is G says, no, stick to the plan. Take Erica out. If David, if you use it, nobody will trust you. He's like, what do you mean? I thought we had a plan here. And Michelle's trying to argue that Dana should go. But it's not sticking here. And so the plan has changed.
Well, G is still under the impression that everyone in the house is going to vote for Erica to leave. Mm-hmm. And so with that perspective, David changing it up and putting Dana up there would only cause confusion and harm.
Yeah.
But it's June's 28th birthday, so we got to celebrate that real quick.
There you go. She's feeling a little down, so they surprise her. Jack says, I've had a lot of birthdays. I like other people's birthdays.
I feel like this was kind of a scumbag move by Big Brother.
Michelle says, she was feeling down. She was really grateful for us being so happy birthday.
That's probably one of the best Michelle quotes. They jump out at her from behind some couches, which is like the best way to celebrate.
Mm.
And then they get half a cake.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, you guys have to share half a cake because only half of you could eat. It's like only the people who earn on PB&J can eat the cake. I feel like I'm, you know what? I'm with Robert here. I feel like they should have all gotten some cake.
No way.
It's a special occasion.
No, it's a birthday. Jack's had a bunch of them. It's nothing special.
That cake looked good, though.
They get half a cake, half of them are on PB&J, then half the cake is not there. What they should have done is that half the cake should have been peanut butter and jelly cake.
Now, how come June didn't get presents? Because I'm pretty sure people have gotten presents from Big Brother.
Look, she got a cake. That was her present. Yeah. Most people don't get cakes.
Yeah. It was a good looking cake, though. I think that's my problem, is I just wanted the cake.
Yeah, I like June is just like, that's what they get for losing.
Yeah. Well, you know, fair enough, I guess. They didn't figure out what kind of vegetables were in the casserole.
All right.
I mean, who could even pick out jicama? You know, like, that's not a fair competition.
Are you ready?
I'm starting.
Are you ready for the evolution of bikini?
I mean, look, I think this just goes down. The other one was a little bit quirky and interesting. This is just awkward to me. The whole scene, everything about it.
Everything about it.
It like really, it just hurts to watch.
Yeah.
Salad bikinis.
Salad
cabbage
bikinis.
And tomatoes and saran wrap. I think it's the saran wrap because the saran wrap just kind of makes it look like their butts are in like a trash bag.
Yeah. I can't say it was the most flattering bikini.
No. And I'm kind of surprised it was like shown to us.
I mean, we saw like a good 30 seconds of David and Amanda. So,
well, yeah, that's fair. And then David has to pull down Michelle's bottoms, which I think puts him continually in that jerk category.
Yeah.
That was too much.
G enjoyed it, though. Our international player.
So did Jack. Yeah. Jack also enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So that's not uncomfortable at all. It was fine. But June did, you know, had a nice creative job. Like, I can understand why you would want to do it if you're in the house, if you're bored and it's a tradition and whatever, but can't help but notice the tradition ends here.
Yeah. Yeah. So David has the veto. G says, if you use it, I'm never going to trust him again if he uses it. Robert thinks he's going to screw the whole game if he does this. Originally I thought that I wouldn't use it if I got it. But we gotta go for Dana. And G says, no, this is what the majority wants, that we want Erica out. And David says, no, the majority is down for Dana. And G says to us, no, Dana is not after me. Dana's after other people. This is back and forth between David and G, and essentially the elite group versus the stooges, between, you know, them trying to get Dana on the block, and G has now realized that that just doesn't behoove him. Because in G's mind, it's Erica or Dana. And obviously, if Erica is vulnerable, let's just take out Erica. It just doesn't make sense to take out Dana.
Yeah. So this is Jack and Nathan also come into this conversation. Mm-hmm. So it's the Three Stooges and Jack and Nathan and David arguing this point here. And there's a lot of conversations from both sides, both from Dana and G, especially a lot of diaries saying, you know, it's just becoming more and more clear that the two sides, everybody has their own agenda. And this is not really a who the house wants anyway. And what I would say to G and Robert and Justin in this moment is, guys, remember this conversation, because if they're so adamant about trying to get Dana out, maybe it's because they don't want Erica out.
Yeah. And so Nathan is pitching like, oh, Erica doesn't even care. Dana is way more dangerous. And Nathan is telling us it's fishy to me that G is just looking out for himself. And it's like, like, what is he supposed to do? And so G says, if you guys believe Erica, you're fools. And Nathan is concerned that if they ignore Dana, she'll end up winning the whole game. She's so dangerous. And so this is really definitely, as you said, the big divide here between the eight and the Stooges. Like, if the eight had been able to convince the Stooges to take out Dana here, then they would have just continued to slowly eat away at them without there being an obvious divide.
Right. But, you know, Nathan comes up with this sort of other plan here, which is something that kind of reminds me of some of the stuff that we talked about in Big Brother Canada 8 recently, of like, what if we just sort of surprise them mm-hmm. with a plan? Nathan says, what if we just have David use the veto without telling G that he's going to do it? Then because Dana was the last name that G heard, he might just panic and put her up without having time to think about it.
Exactly. He doesn't have time to think about what he would do if David used the veto. And so without being able to consult with anybody, he might just go ahead and put Dana on the block. It's actually not a terrible plan when you think about the fact that obviously anybody else that goes up on the block will also not be voted out. You know, whether it's Erica or whoever else G puts up, unless it's Dana. Obviously, though, that's going to be really bad for David's relationship with the Stooges, and it's gonna put more stress on him as a spotlight instead of like the whole group, which eventually will happen when they blindside them in the vote. So I think it's worth trying, but not for David in particular.
Well, I think it would have been worth trying if they could have somehow not had the conversation they just had. If David was able to win the veto, not talk to G, and just play it like an individual person, then G might have put up Dana. Because the downside there is, okay, somebody else gets put up, maybe, you know, Nathan or Jack or anybody else gets put up, and they don't go home either. So there's not really any loss, and David wouldn't have had as big of a target on his back because he hadn't promised G anything else. He could have said, yeah, you know, the last conversation we had, I thought the plan was to put up Dana. So he could have possibly gotten away with that. I just don't think that he would have been able to kind of avoid G for a couple days without talking to him.
Yeah, my favorite part about this conversation is when Nathan brings up the idea, Erica is just kind of sitting in the chair off to the side, and she's like, oh no, we should totally do that. That's a great plan. And they're like, oh, but what if it's me or you, Jack, that goes up? And Erica's like, nah, I think we're good. I think we should try it. I think, yeah, vetoing me is definitely the right idea.
Yeah, of course. Nice try. Nice try, Erica.
Yeah.
But veto ceremony rolls around.
We get confirmation from G that Erica, David, and Jack, again, they are the people that he is concerned about the most. They are gaining power. This is important information to know heading into the following week as well. That it's, again, David, Erica, and Jack that G really feels like are the trio that are gaining power in the house. So that's what we get before we head into the veto ceremony.
Yeah, and with that knowledge, again, might have been worth it for David just to kind of do this for fun. Just play the veto.
Go for it.
Might as well. Yeah. So Erica and Michelle both tell David they trust his decisions. Michelle has a great Michelle quote where she says, you know, yeah, David, I trust your choices, so just make it.
Yeah. Thank you, but I have made up my mind anyway.
Yeah.
Already. So I have chosen to use the veto on nobody.
Shocking.
Oh, I'm such a joker, guys. I got you.
Yeah. G, personal reasons, says it's good for his game.
Yeah, G immediately says to Michelle, you're safe now. Don't worry. It'll be unanimous. Uh-huh.
Yeah, because that's the other part of this, is Michelle was a little bit worried that if Erica was taken down and Dana was put up, Michelle thought, well, I would go. Dana would stay against me, which is hilarious. Like, Michelle, get on board with where the house is.
Yeah. Robert also tells us it's going to be a unanimous vote. Michelle feels safe. And Jack tells us the exes want Erica voted out, but that's not going to happen.
Right. Jack coming in with a little bit, I don't know about that.
And again, like, this is like the first mention we've had from the perspective of the elite group of how the vote will go. And that's what I mean when I say, like, up until this point, it's like we've been getting the perspective of G, you know, and even from that perspective, like, we can see what's happening here, but we get no, like, real confirmation. And there's not the sort of, like, edit of, well, if he goes through with this and he puts Michelle up, we're going to vote Michelle out. Like, that must have been a given from the start, but they didn't want to show us because it would have had no suspense during the week, I guess. But I think now they've sort of come to the realization that when there is a situation like that, instead of trying to hide it, it's a lot easier to just, like, really just play into the fact, like, what a dumb move G made. And that makes for a little bit of a more compelling storyline, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, they spent all week trying to get Dana up, the Elite Eight, because that is a win for them. And Michelle is just such a wash that, yeah, we could get rid of her. It's not like at no point were they really worried that Erica was going to go home. Mm-hmm. It was just a, how can we win the most for this week with G's terrible decision making?
Yeah.
From the other side. So,
we head into episode 8. The eviction episode, and we start off right away that Erica feels like telling G to put his head in the toilet, which is, I guess, the next evolution of, putting the toothbrush in the toilet.
I think, would I rather have my head in the toilet than my toothbrush in the toilet? I feel like I could clean my head, but I think I'd have to throw the toothbrush away.
That's true, but I can throw the toothbrush away before it reaches my head. And thus never have any toilet on my head at all.
I guess if I could be guaranteed I was going to get another toothbrush. So, look, things to
think
about.
They're not exactly hard to come by.
If you're in a big... I guess they gave one... They gave one to, who was it, Hardy?
Were they going to be like, nope, sorry, no toothbrushes for you?
I mean, they could have just given them some bleach and been like, deal with it.
I don't know.
You know what? I don't know. I feel like I always have about 7 toothbrushes on hand at any given moment, just in case. I mean, not like, in my house. I don't mean like on my person, although I do generally have a toothbrush.
You have
on my
7
person.
Toothbrushes in your house just in case 6 of them fail.
Well, no, but like it's just one of those things. Like, you know how you always have at least a couple bottles of vanilla extract because you always just buy it thinking that you might be close to running out, but you never are.
Okay.
Same thing with toothbrushes. Like every time you go out, like they always come in a pack of like 4. And so you got to buy like a whole pack.
See, I'm about the electric toothbrush.
Oh.
So I've got a bunch of different toothbrush heads ready to go.
Well, do you have 7?
I don't know. I bought like a big pack of them.
Yeah. I was a big believer in the you just get a new toothbrush every time you go to the dentist. But they stopped doing that after a while.
Well, they also started telling you that electric toothbrushes are better. So.
Well, why aren't they giving me an electric toothbrush at the dentist? You know?
That's exactly it.
Think about it, guys.
Yeah.
That's a game-changing move. So, G, Robert, and Michelle and Justin believe Michelle is going to stay unanimously.
Definitely unanimous.
Definitely.
Definitely. Nothing's going to happen. David said G is a moron.
Michelle hasn't been worried about the vote too much because she's been assured.
Oh, yeah.
She's fine.
It's fine. She wants the week to be over, but it's fine. But David, he tried again and again to get Dana on the block, and G is just not hearing it. G, this guy, he's not playing to win. He won't listen to me.
Yeah, now the one weird moment here is Dana saying that she gave her word to keep Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, she's going to go back on that.
Yeah.
It's
this situation here where, like, from the Elite 7's perspective, Elite 6, whatever you want to call them, that they feel like they're trying to save G from himself by getting Dana nominated, right? Because they know that if G keeps Erica on the block, they're going to blindside them and keep Erica. And that means that G will have gotten rid of Michelle, which he didn't want to do. So they feel like, we're doing you a favor by trying to get Dana evicted. Like, that's going to be better for you because then you'll have accomplished your goal. As long as your goal is what we want, then you'll have accomplished your goal, which is what we want, and nobody will be sad. I feel like that's where this is coming from, where they're just like, if you were playing the game correctly, you'd be doing what we want you to do, because then nobody would be failing at the vote on Thursday or Wednesday.
Now, is there any thought to should anyone in that group have told G at any point, hey, Michelle's going to go, like we're all going to vote to keep Erica? Is there a reason why they felt the need to blindside him?
I mean, at that point, are you doing that in an attempt to get him to put Dana on the block still? Or are you just letting him know, like, ahead of time, you're screwed?
I don't know. I mean, you could let him know to hope that if someone who's not on your side doesn't win next week, that they're not going to try and put you
up.
But
they're not
going
to be quiet about that. They're going to try and flip the vote.
Yeah, true, true. I don't know. I just think it's a little interesting that nobody thought, hey, wouldn't it be great if I'm the person who rats everyone else out?
I'm surprised that Dana didn't think that.
Right. Yeah. Especially someone like Dana. Kind of also interesting that G and Justin and Robert don't just tell Dana, like, hey, everyone has been coming in here trying to get you on the block to get you out either. You know, things are leaking to Dana, but nobody seems to be really saying that to her face.
Well, not yet. Yeah. So we get a segment about June and G again having a secret alliance. They both say it's their best alliance in the house. They speak Korean to each other. That arguing is a good cover for them working together. June says there is an underlying disdain for each other, which really helps us out. G says he has to trust her for the time being. And she calls him a dumbass. But again, this is June and G working together. This is going to be very effective for the two of them.
Yeah, it's a nice segment. I like it. When you've known someone for as long as they have, the smallest of gestures can be used to communicate. So
also speaking in a different language than everybody else helps.
That helps, certainly.
Yeah,
really helps. So Julie asks some questions.
This is great. Yeah. Julie checks in with the house guests. She says, "You all look great." Robert says, "So do you, Julie." And then she says, all right, I got to ask some questions of you, David. And they're like, we can't see you. We actually can't see you. Yeah. And she's like, but somebody said that I looked great. Yeah, you guys couldn't see me. You said that I looked great. But of course it was Robert.
Right. This is one of his moves. Yeah. You know?
So Julie asks David and Robert, how they feel with their exes on the block. David is just like, it's whatever. It's Michelle. It just doesn't really matter. Robert says, I don't mind, but I will say I'm happy that Erica's leaving tonight.
Yep. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, Julie's like, well, you never know.
Yep. Nathan, he's struggling with the PB&J.
Mm.
Allison's Muhammad Ali. June made some bikinis. And Jack thinks Justin would be good in the FBI.
Yeah.
So, riveting content.
Yeah, then
And can I just imagine the diary room. That's Jack saying, yes, you know, I thought that throwing out that Justin being good at the FBI, that was me subtly trying to put a target on
his back. Yeah, because Julie's like, anybody else? And he's like, well, I'm not going to say other people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely Jack's move.
Then we get a segment from Michelle and David's parents, which is just a bunch of nothing.
Sure, but not before seeing that Robert votes to evict Erica.
Right.
So we're getting some of the actual votes here in these little pre-vote discussions.
Yeah. I mean, we know where the votes go. Which I think
we know where it's going, but I kind of like this edit of, it's sort of similar to like the Eric Reichenbach vote where you just get all the votes up front. We get all of the Three Stooges votes for Erica, followed by Jack and Nathan just being like, or Jack and David being like, yeah, we're voting out Michelle. Mm-hmm. Nice try.
Yeah.
You guys might have thought you saw, but nope. So, Michelle's family, she's 14 months out of high school. There's a montage of her saying, wow.
Wow.
Wow. Like wow.
Like wow.
Wow. I don't know. I mean, in between wow and golly, I think I'm going to take golly.
Mm. Her and David are almost like brother and sister, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
And David's mom was very surprised about David's escapade with Amanda. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, I mean, he's an adult, but she didn't need to see it.
Nobody did.
Oh, that's it. And then we get that clip of him saying, my grandmother's going to like this. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Erica's mom thinks Robert's a loser.
Yeah.
And that it's bad with him being in the house because it's making Erica sad. And she's normally such a warm person. A lot of talk about Erica being either warm or cold because Robert's brother calls her an ice princess.
Yes. Robert's roommate is the other person tellingly everybody else's parents have been there. But Robert has a roommate that is going to talk about how Erica is ice cold. We get a clip of Robert saying, you know, in the outside world, I'm always moving, doing chicks. This is killing me. And his roommate says, yeah, Robert's, he's always dating multiple women at the same time. He's a big dog for sure. Just a big dog, this Robert.
I mean, he sounds so down to the earth. I mean, like, who wouldn't love that personality?
Yeah.
You can just talk to him about anything.
Robert just wants to make sure Erica goes out before him. That's all he cares about.
Well, if that's your goal, that's your one goal.
Yeah. It's, if you think about it, Robert really won.
He's a winner. But,
Julie is going to check in with G. And again, like not much here. G believes that Erica will be leaving and he would like for Justin or Robert to win HOH. Maybe Dana would be fine.
Yeah, that'd be fine. It's probably best for G, so that's okay. Robert votes to evict Erica. Saw that. Nice. Hey, look, it's more house guests from Big Brother 3.
How did they screw this up? This was not an interesting segment.
It's terrible. The one from last week wasn't as bad because we got a little bit of their thoughts on this season, which is kind of fun. And there's some of that. This had almost nothing.
It had Jason and Danielle, and it somehow managed to be boring. Jason, I'm still a virgin. He's traveling with his band. He regrets living.
All appear to be high schoolers.
Well,
right?
You know, I think that's just the fashion of the early 2000s.
I don't know. I think someone needs to check in with these kids in this band because they looked about 12.
He regrets letting go of the key. He keeps in touch with Danny. And that's it. That's it from Jason.
Right. And then we hear from Lori, who, I'm sorry, but does anyone care?
She came out the winner.
Right. Just like Robert.
Yeah. And we hear
and
from...
And she bartends.
Yeah, we hear from... She's in radio sales as well.
Okay.
Roddy has been writing and playing golf. Look... I'm a writer. And so he sees Josh a lot and he's not with Kiara.
Yeah, he's single, but I see Josh a lot. Does that count? Did anyone think he was still with Kiara?
No.
I mean,
he was not with Kiara by the end of the season. So
this is not like I can kind of understand the question about Eric and Lisa because at least they seem to really. I mean, he said hi.
He said hi.
But Roddy said bye. So,
well, does Danielle think Roddy is the devil? Good pause, huh?
Yeah.
Is Danielle sorry that she called Roddy the devil? No, she's not sorry.
And I wanted to bring this up because this is something I thought a lot about when I was listening to the Big Brother 3 blockumentary. I mean, Roddy is like he was one of my like people who I didn't realize was so terrible when I watched it the first time. But after listening to that audiobook, man, I forgot about how much I disliked Roddy. Sorry. But he's a writer.
He's the devil.
He kind of is. Is that why they made the ducks little devil ducks this season?
There's always some devil ducks.
Oh, gosh. You know, Danielle's still close with Jason and she's a fitness trainer.
Personal fitness trainer. Nice. She's accomplishing her dreams because she was running workout classes. And you know what?
Yeah.
People say she lost $450,000. No, she won $50,000.
Yeah. And she says, if anyone but me couldn't have won, well, me or Jason, I'm glad Lisa won.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice. Really boring segment, surprisingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, well.
So we get to, by a vote of 6-2, Michelle, you are evicted from the Big Brother house.
Right.
She looks straight at the Stooges. She's like, what did you do? And they're just like, what? No. And they look shocked and pissed. And it's just this is super awkward.
Yeah. Robert, Justin, and G are completely shocked. So shocked that they barely get to say goodbye to her. Everyone else is hugging Michelle.
One by one hugging Michelle and like, but nobody can speak above a whisper.
Yeah. It's a lot of, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, nice meeting you. Oh, have fun.
Oh, you said we have to do this. I'm sorry about this.
Yeah. Yeah. And Michelle talks to Julie. She's shocked. She's heard the people lie, but it's a game.
Julie says, you think you're shocked. The guys in the house are just as shocked.
Yeah. She,
but you know,
she's a little surprised.
You know who wasn't shocked? David. He didn't vote for you.
Right. Yeah. She's throwing David right under the bus. And, she says, is that gonna mean that you're not gonna be friends with him? It's like, no.
It's a game.
I'll probably still be friends with him. It's a game. She's kind of like on the verge of tears, but also continuing to say it's a game over and over. So I think it's a better look. I prefer this to the Amanda, oh, I knew it was coming.
100%
kind of look. Like this at least is a real reaction.
This is great.
She's trying to be poised and friendly and civil about it, but she's in complete shock.
She's shocked. She's willing to admit it. She cared a lot. She's upset that she lost, but she also understands that it was just a game. And like, this is pitch perfect for how you should come out of the house.
It was great entertainment. I think that the goodbye messages were fine. I mean, most of them were telling her that she's sweet and naive. And
Dana says, you're better off not being in here. Trust me. This is the most annoying goodbye message you could possibly get.
Yeah, it's the, I'm doing this for your own good. Trust me, you wouldn't have been able to handle it in here. And you're too pure to be in the house. David says it was fun. Allison says she'll miss her. June says, you know, you're a little flaky and I couldn't count on you.
You were too flaky for me to count on. So you had to go. Sorry.
Yeah. Justin says, I'll be completely shocked if you're gone. So I don't know what happened there. And Nathan tells her, stay out of trouble. And that'll miss
it. There you go.
So it was nice. You know, she's mostly upset that she had been told all week by G that she'd be fine, 100% safe. To which I'll say, maybe you shouldn't have just listened to the HOH and maybe campaigned a little. I mean, she didn't campaign at all. I don't really think Erica did either, necessarily, but kind of a weird week here.
It's one of those things where, like, somebody does something to you and they're like, no, trust me. I know this. I know better. I know what I'm doing. You got to trust me. You're like, I don't trust you. This is not going to work out well. They're like, no, I'm telling you, this is great. And then it screws you over and you're like, what did I say?
Yeah, exactly. So she's a little hurt because of that, but it's fine. Her dad and brother are there. I don't know why we need this.
So that we can see the group hug.
Right. Group hug. She cries, immediately parenting away from her again. To the HOH competition.
HOH comp, it's a quiz, but it's actually kind of an interesting structure here. So we get three groups of three, and the first person to buzz in with the correct answer is going to move ahead to the final round of three. And if you buzz in with the wrong answer, then you're eliminated, and the remaining two will get another question that they answer. And so that's the first part of the competition. So first we get Justin, Jack, and June. And Justin wins that one. Then David gets one wrong. Allison beats Erica. So it's Justin and Allison now. This is a funny one that, when it's Nathan, Dana, and Robert, the question is, how many votes were there to evict Amanda last week? And Nathan buzzes, 13. No, 12. She was like, both of those are incorrect.
Yeah. I wonder what would have happened if the 12 was correct.
Right?
Probably still would have been out. Yeah.
Then Dana beats Robert. And so the final round is between Dana, Justin, and Allison. And so for this final round, it's the first person to get two questions right wins. But if you get one wrong, you're out. And if you're the last one standing, you win. So I like this. I like this formula. It's kind of like an interesting mix up to the typical trivia where, you know, they pretty much used to be. And especially nowadays, it's basically either point system or elimination system and no combination of the two.
Yeah. So this is kind of a combination. I think it's interesting. I kind of see why they went away from it a little bit, especially with the changing up the format in the final round. But it goes okay. Allison gets the first question right. Three people older than 30. Dana gets the second one right. With how many people evicted the previous person, I guess, or how many people in this?
Yeah, they each get one question right.
So
now it's down to the next person to get one right wins.
Right. Justin buzzes in. Gets one wrong. They said, how many people have been noms? And he just, like, doesn't even have an answer.
Well, he had an answer, but it was bleeped out. We didn't hear it. So, I don't know what his answer was.
I assume the answer was just a word that needed to be bleeped out because he realized he didn't have an answer.
I mean, he looks over at everyone.
Although she does say that was incorrect.
Yes, she says that was incorrect. So, like, we don't know what his incorrect answer was.
Yeah, it was bleeped out. Just too terrible. And then the last question here, which bedroom has the fewest beds?
Yeah.
And Allison says, the love room? And
Julie says, the love room? What is the love room? And that is incorrect.
And that is incorrect. But also, what is the love room?
It's the room with the double beds.
Oh, right. Well, of course. The room that I just wrote down as the orange room.
Yeah. Well, because there's only two beds in there and you have to share the beds. And so Allison thought that's the room with the fewest amount of beds. But no, it's actually the HOH room that has the fewest amount of beds.
Can I say I hate this when the house guests and the viewers have different names for things? I mean, maybe the viewers were calling this the love room, but there's just a couple.
Did the viewers have any name for that room?
at this point?
Probably not. But like, there have definitely been times in more recent seasons when they're like, ah, yes, in the Austin Powers room. And I'm like, that's not what I was calling that room.
Well,
but okay.
Look, I think I gotta side with the house guests on this one. I mean, Chilltown was what they called their room way sure. back in season two. So I feel like
but they called it that because it was cold. Yeah. They called it that because it was cold. The viewers don't know it's cold.
Exactly. So it doesn't matter what the viewers think. It's up to them. We have to follow their lead on whatever. The room names.
I'm just saying, the love room. You could have tried a little harder.
I just loved Julie's reaction to this. She was so shocked by this love room. The love room? What is the love room? Oh, and that's incorrect, by the way.
Yeah, it's like she was going to have a conversation with Allison, and meanwhile, someone in her ear is like, Julie, we don't have time for this. Yeah. That's not the right answer. Right.
So,
HOH.
Congratulations, Dana. By default, you are the new head of household. By the way, Allison, the HOH room has the fewest amount of beds, just in case we wanted to finish that conversation.
So, Dana wins, which is fun. Mm. Not exactly from the bottom of the top, but definitely from someone who could have been voted out.
Someone who was the main target.
Right. Which I think compared to this season or this past week of being a little bit of a slower week, Dana winning is one of the most interesting people who could have won.
She should have been an interesting win. He just screwed it up pretty bad.
Yeah, but Dana here is fixed right in between two alliances, both of which kind of don't trust her. I'd say the Three Stooges probably trust her a little bit more, whether that's warranted or not. And she's going to have to pick a side.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
And we see a little bit here when we eavesdrop on the house guest that Dana is already saying to G, like, hey, I meant everything I said all week. Like, she's already trying to do damage control. From the fact that she did flip her vote, she voted with the Elite Eight and voted Michelle out, apparently did not tell them ahead of time that she was going to do that. And so now she's trying to do damage control. Obviously, as the HOH, she's in a position to do that damage control pretty well. But yeah, we're definitely going to see more of that throughout the week.
Yeah. You know, the first 2 weeks here, we had two pretty inconsequential people leave, which is good for a, you know, higher likelihood of having some interesting weeks to come, but definitely a little bit slower of a start to the season. I think in some ways, these first couple votes, while they were majority, you know, house wanting this, would have almost been good for some of these gamers to think about keeping people like Michelle and Amanda around a little longer, because those are some great people to throw out later. You know, like I said, Dana needs to pick a side here. She doesn't have some of these other people to kind of put up who are more disliked, or not even disliked, but more pawns. There's not as many pawns left.
I mean, I feel like that's exactly what was happening here, is that G, who was outside of the alliance, this is the worst case scenario. The minority did win in HOH. So this is when you use up that card of, well, Michelle. Just take out Michelle.
But if you're in the minority alliance and you know you're in the minority alliance, put two people up who are in the majority.
I thought you were saying from the majority's point of view, this is amazing. Obviously, from the minority's point of view, this was an awful move.
Right. Yeah. For anyone who thinks that they might be in the majority but don't want to be later, or people in the minority, this was not a great move for them. But
In general, taking out these low-key, low-target players early, I think, is very beneficial to you if in most circumstances, because these players like Amanda or Michelle, if you let them survive the first couple of weeks, you just pencil them in for the final five, right? Like, and that means that there's not a spot for you. So, in general, I'm not a huge advocate of keeping these kinds of players around.
Yeah, if you're in the majority,
unless you have complete control of them.
Helps. Right. And if you're not the one person who has control over someone like this, if you're not, you know, a Derek having control, then that's one thing. But yeah, it's more so I think about it from the perspective of someone like Dana, or you know, who wants to make this move and flip, and who Dana probably thought for her it would have been better to keep Michelle
around, but she didn't have the votes to make it happen anyway.
Yeah. Oh well. Yeah. Too bad we're not going to see any more salad bikinis and hear wow.
Did you catch Allison talking at the very end, eavesdropping on the house guests?
No, I didn't. What did she say?
She said, I was so worried my boobs were going to fall out on national television. I couldn't even think of the question.
Yes, yes, which is a valid concern.
Yeah.
And I get that. Maybe a reason to only wear t-shirts at all times during these competitions.
How different would Big Brother history be if Allison had worn a different top that night? Who knows?
Would have been great. Good TV, I guess. That'd have been something fun, you know? I mean,
I'm saying if she won, I feel like you're saying something different.
Sorry, guys. My mind went to a different place. I mean, look, there's lots of, as we've heard from Robert and from Lori, there are lots of different ways to consider yourself a winner. Okay. And I think for the viewers, that could have been a win.
Fair.
You know?
Fair.
2003 was a crazy time, right? I don't know when, I can't remember when the Janet Jackson thing was, but it was in that vicinity.
Probably.
Wasn't it? Probably. So I feel like it's just, you know, ripe for the, I feel like I want to look that up.
That's, I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah.
2004.
Well, that was close. Right. So this could have been the thing. Janet Jackson wouldn't have even been a big deal because we would have had Allison.
There you go.
Right. Yeah. But I think that's a good excuse. I'm going to use that if I ever fail anything.
Yeah.
If I don't come in clutch with a nice trivia win, it's because I was worried about my boobs falling out.
There you go.
On national TV. Can't use that part necessarily.
Yeah, just my shirt was just I was worried it was going to come off, so I was just really concerned.
Yep, definitely good. So that was fun.
Yeah. So that's week two of Big Brother 4. Like I said, I feel like this week, as we talked about, it was a bit of a slower week. I think Big Brother 4 in general, it, like I said, I think that it has some high points with the casting, but there are some people that it needed to get through, to churn through at the early stage. And I think that I think Big Brother 4 is a season that picks up. And I think that's a result of, you know, getting rid of some of these players early and having a lot of the bigger characters saved for later.
Yeah, and this is going to be an exciting week coming up. So I think we've been getting a little bit of foreshadowing of some people's feelings on some of the bigger targets coming in here, and we'll see what Dana does.
All right, we'll see. So thank you guys for joining us this week. We will be back next week with week three of Big Brother 4, and we'll see how Dana's reign goes for her.